Hey everybody, and welcome to The Brothers Geek, the podcast where geeky brothers talk about geeky things. My name is Chris Laporte, the Ninja Turtles' favorite pizza delivery boy, and Chris Pratt's handler.
Nice.
He handles...
Chris Pratt's handler.
Yeah. I mean, someone's got to handle him, right?
No one can handle him, Chris.
He handles the Raptors, and I handle Chris Pratt. It sounds a lot worse.
All right. Well, I'm Patrick Laporte, and I'm Hobbit Hole Decor and Jesse Pinkman's beanie guy, bitch.
He is a beanie guy?
Yeah. He wears a lot of beanies.
He doesn't just go to, like, Lids or something?
No. Jesse, are you kidding me? Jesse Pinkman doesn't just get beanies from Lids.
Did they even sell beanies original. From Lids?
He's original. He puts chili peppers in his meth.
So he sprinkles chili peppers on his beanies that he gets from his guy.
From his guy, and that's me.
And that's you. You shouldn't have said Hobbit Hole right after I said I handled Chris Pratt.
Right. Phrasing, I suppose. To each their own.
Hey, Patrick, you know what the worst thing is about Christmas songs?
How repetitive they are?
Yes, the end. No.
Working retail during
working
Christmas.
Working retail with Christmas songs. Because you realize there's only 10 Christmas songs total that we've ever recorded, right. Ever.
Let's see. White Christmas. Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells.
Winter Wonderland. Sleigh Ride.
It's a Marshmallow World.
What?
It's a Marshmallow World.
Sure. Silent Night.
And then that super
Let It Snow. Baby, It's Cold Outside. Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Charlie Brown Christmas.
That's it.
Away in a Manger. That's it.
That's the only ones. That's it. And they just are done.
Roasting on an
by... open fire. Like 500 different people.
Ben Crosby. I'm going to name all 500. Ben Crosby.
But
Michael Bublé. Christina Aguilera.
It's only Michael Bublé. He actually does all
from
the different
Maroon
voices.
5. That guy from Blink 182. That guy from Red Hot Chili Peppers. That guy.
Oh, I didn't know how long you were going to go.
That guy from Green Day. That guy.
We play a really
that guy
random
from
one.
Linkin Park. Oh, rest in peace.
Oh, we play a really random one at the store. Song of Storms. Smashing Pumpkins did a Christmas song, and it's weird.
Smash Mouth.
You know what's?
Hey, now you're a Frosty the Snowman.
That was good.
Thanks. Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I could keep going. We're 4 minutes deep. And
that's not counting the time you were talking
about. Selena Gomez.
I was going to say that was not counting the time before we actually started the show where we were talking about how big your poop was. But I digress.
It was pretty big. I was able to sing all 10 Christmas songs.
The worst part about all those 10 ones is the real, like, cheesy ones, like, just like the real kitsch ones or whatever, like Jingle Bells, is when someone tries to sing it really artsy and very serious, you know?
Jingle Bells.
Exactly.
Jingle Bells.
There's so many
jingle
we play.
All the way.
There's so many we play at the store that are just
jingle
like...
Bells. Jingle Bells. Bob Dylan.
The Bob...
Can't forget
Simply
Bob.
Simply Having a Wonderful...
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
Go away,
go away, you Santa Claus.
Son of a bitch.
Get your coal out of my stocking, Santa.
God. It's not a geeky thing. It's just an observation.
Yeah.
That I found annoying as I worked. Like, why are they trying to dress up Jingle Bells here? Like, ugh, come on.
I don't know. But you know who probably loves Christmas songs, Chris?
Huh.
The Abominable Snowman, also known as the Yeti.
Oh,
you know what
damn.
Else? The Yeti.
That was good. I didn't know where you were going with it. That was real good.
But let's talk about what we're drinking tonight, because I'm real excited and I want to pop this bad boy open.
All right. Please do.
All right. Well, today I'm drinking something very special. Something that I've been looking forward to for like 4 or 5 days ever since I got it. But I held myself from drinking it because I wanted to have it for the very first time on the show. Because I got 2 bottles of it, Chris.
Don't worry, everyone. I have 2 bottles of it.
Yeah, well, the other one's probably going to for beer club.
Oh,
but so I got Great Divide, you know, from Denver, Colorado. Their new Chai Yeti, and nice. I'm gonna open this thing so you can talk about your beer while I'm opening this and pouring it. But I'm opening it for the very. I haven't even opened it yet. That's how serious
proof.
I am.
Proof, everybody.
Here, listen.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good. That's some good sound work.
That's right. Some ASMR right there. All right. Wait for the pour. Wait.
No. Oh, you wanted me to talk, and then.
Ooh, that was nice.
I don't know if that's gonna come up, but we'll give it a shot. There's gonna be a big gap when I'm editing this, and I'm gonna be like, "What the hell are we doing?" Oh, we're listening to beer. That's right.
Well, yeah, now you can talk while the foam settles.
Oh, okay. I'm actually having a first. Well, I've already started drinking it because I got impatient waiting to start recording. So I just did it.
All right.
I'm having Samuel Smith's Taddy Porter. This is an international selection, Patrick.
Whoa, international.
Now, Samuel Smith is. The same.
Did Santa deliver that to you?
They did.
From overseas?
He did.
Oh, he came early.
Well, you know, you slip him a 20, he comes early.
Yeah.
Sam and Smith makes that the oatmeal stout that's supposed to be real good that I think is just fine.
Okay.
It used to be like in the top 200 of Beer Advocate's list or whatever, I think. And the Taddy Porter ranks really high too. And it's fine. It's the same situation.
So what's this one?
This one's the Taddy Porter. It's 5%.
Oh, okay.
And, it's good, but more on the fine side of good. But you know what was great about it?
What was great about it, Chris?
At work, it was already discounted for like 30%. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, it was on a day that all stouts and porters were 20%, and then I got my employee discount on top of that. So I paid.
Did you get it for free?
I paid less than $3.
Nice. Hey, you can't beat that.
Nope. So here's to affordability.
I didn't mention this is 9.5%.
Nice.
This one. So, all right, I'm going to drink this thing now. First, I'm going to smell it.
Do we have to hear you smelling it too? That was better.
That wasn't me smelling it. I was actually just doing Coke.
Are you drinking a Coke, too?
Smells like chai. It smells chai-y.
Chai-y?
I'm going to take a sip.
Is that the official, like, term for that? That flavorists use?
Oh, man. Ooh. That backhand, though.
That good, huh?
Is real good.
You took a big-ass sip of that thing.
Well, I had to get past the foam to get to the liquid there, Chris. Because the foam didn't quite go all the way down.
My ramblings?
But it's real good.
My ramblings didn't get the foam to go away?
Yeah. Andrew texted me about this one, and he's like, this sounds real bad, but don't knock until you try it, Andrew, which you will on Friday.
And then he'll knock it.
Yeah, he'll listen to this episode and be like, oh.
Huh.
Well, I already texted the group saying that this is what I was bringing in case someone else was thinking about bringing it, so.
That's planning.
Yeah.
Well,
I have to get a white elephant for that. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Oh,
gotta get a spicy beer.
And getting my own that I somehow got back to me. And then screwing myself, basically. And then also...
Yeah.
So,
somehow, always. But, so, big news this week. Chris?
Big news. Personal. This time
big news. I think I already made that joke.
You did literally last week, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, the big news this week, Chris, is, like you said, personal news for the Brothers Geek. We are now official writers for an actual established company.
Holy shit.
Yeah. With thousands of followers. It's pretty insane.
That's, I'm super stoked.
With literally tens of followers.
No, they have a ton of followers on Facebook.
And that company is Nerdbot, which is a Southern California-based company, but obviously their fingers stretch beyond that, because Chris is living in Tennessee right now.
They officially have an article up from Tennessee.
Yes, they officially have an article up from Chris, which you can now view if you go onto nerdbot.com. You can see that article. It's about, what is it about? Star Wars, something Star Wars related, and nerds having fun, and haters should back the fuck up. Maybe not so expletive, but,
it's not that mean. The title makes it sound meaner than it is.
but it's click, that title's like, people click on it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's called,
which is what you want.
Yeah, so
but yeah, so we are now official writers for Nerdbot, which is a company that I've kind of interacted with before. I mean, friend and listener Tiffany is very much close to them as well. But I went to their event last year for the Rogue One release was through Nerdbot. So yeah, I'm real excited about this.
Yeah, this is awesome. So. Hopefully we get more buds to join us, listening to the podcast here, grow our community, geeksters. More geeksters and nerds and bots, I guess.
mm-hmm.
I mean,
but like still actual people.
Yeah. Well, robots are people, Patrick, just ask Tiff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, I would say that they're the opposite of that.
But we are super stoked and so happy to be doing stuff with them. So you'll be seeing their name flash up in our advertising sometimes too, because we'll be like, hey, look at this link. It's at Nerdbot.
Yeah.
From us.
Look at what Nerdbot's doing with over love. Here. It's crazy. Yeah. So that's exciting stuff.
Another good reason that this is our news piece is that we're deep enough into the week now. I'm kind of terrified to look up any news whatsoever because I don't even want to know, like, if The Last Jedi is good or bad. I mean, by the time you're listening...
I accidentally saw already what it has on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh,
so
don't
you
dare say nothing.
I'll say it's high.
Don't you dare say nothing.
You knew that. You probably already knew that was going to happen.
Well,
but yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be an adventure, especially, while we're recording, we still have the Thursday to get through, and that's officially people are going to start seeing that, like, later on in the day, and the general public.
Yeah, by the time this goes up, I probably have seen it already, and it was two thumbs up.
Yeah, by the time you're listening to it, it's good chances we've both seen it already, but, just know we struggled through this week. And even getting a news piece for our episode was, I was like, I kind of don't want to look up anything.
Yeah.
Because well,
thankfully we had that taken care of for us.
Yeah. There was, of course, the, I just got distracted. Our girlfriend just distracted me with the Yoshi in the lineup of Jurassic World products here. It's appropriate because... It's appropriate because Jurassic World trailer dropped.
Jeff Goldblum.
What, did you see it? Did you watch it? You watch through it?
Yeah, there was like Jeff Goldblum, and he's probably gonna. What I'm gonna guess is that in the movie, he is going to be talking about how they should have listened to him for the last 30 years.
They thought about calling this. You should have fucking listened to me.
Yeah.
But that's it. They're not even Jurassic World. That's the whole title.
There's some explosions.
There's a lot of dinosaurs just running off a cliff. I don't know.
A lot of dinosaurs. I've heard that all the things from this trailer are within the first hour of the movie.
Me too. Okay. Which I so totally thought those dinosaurs going off the cliff was probably the end. Like, yeah. That was my thought. But I guess it's not. And there is some, like, the kind of mini trailers that led up to the trailer being released, because this is the age we live in.
Yeah.
They showed Chris Pratt kind of sneaking around, like, a mansion, probably that old dude in the trailer, his mansion. And there was some bodies getting, like, dragged off real quick, kind of Jurassic Park-esque gatekeeper dude getting wrecked.
So maybe, I'm going to guess this movie is, half of it's going to take place in a new location.
Yeah, and maybe we'll get some more of those kind of horror, thriller aspects of that were in Jurassic Park a little bit, as much as a blockbuster like that could have it. So I'm hoping, because I feel like that none of the other Jurassic Park's worlds have tried to kind of have that very tense aspects of the movie again, which is a bummer.
The other news is the rumors that Disney is most likely purchasing X-Men.
Shit.
So that'll be a thing, which I'm thinking about writing an article on, perhaps. Because that means some things. There's some pros and cons to that. The biggest con to me, obviously, being things like Logan. That's probably the last movie like that we're going to get if Disney's...
Oh, hell yeah.
X-Men.
Yeah.
Which is real sad. But yeah, so some good things, some bad things.
But, like, X-Men, the regular stuff was kind of going downhill. Like, with Apocalypse and stuff. And we're still going to get a Dark Phoenix movie.
Yeah.
I think
they finally go to space in this one.
Serious?
Yeah, next year. Yeah.
They're going to space?
Because, well, that's where the Phoenix comes from, Chris.
I thought it was within her already.
No, it's from space.
But didn't she, like, show some Phoenix-y things already in Apocalypse?
Yeah, but it's the thing that awakens the powers from space.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it, comic books.
They say that it's a solar flare in this movie, so it's not, like, super crazy.
It's not something. A symbiote.
Like an alien. Yeah, because originally it's like an alien thing.
Huh. Yeah. Trying to keep it under control.
Yeah, a little bit, at least.
Because purple Oscar Isaac was out of control.
Yeah, because purple dude that could literally do everything but somehow loses was a little ridiculous.
Oh, man. I'll see it.
Yeah, I'll see it too. Because I like X-Men.
I do. You know what's funny? I think X-Men is probably like my favorite superhero group. Like Batman and standalone, like, is my favorite superhero. But as a collective, like, not Avengers or Death, it's the X-Men. And it's been real hit and miss.
Well, you don't like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Chris?
That was so
what about Watchmen?
That was so not good that Sean Connery never acted again.
It's true. It's true. What about Watchmen?
Yeah, I like Watchmen.
Okay. Cool. Well, we should get on to the topic this week, Chris. The 2017 VGAs, this is the Video Game Awards, they just happened. We kind of talked briefly about when they released the nominations, but now they have actually happened. So we're going to talk about that this week and how Nintendo basically bent everyone over. And we'll give our thoughts about what won, what we think should have won.
Year in review, because it's December. So you're either here's what you're going to get. You're going to get Christmas stuff from us or a year in review of stuff, something.
Yeah. Yeah, and then towards the end, you'll get a year to look forward to.
Exactly. We'll have an anticipation episode.
A year in preview and a year in review.
Yes. With one thing about Santa in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, Breath of the Wild won everything. The end. Bye!
Yeah, like I said, Nintendo bent everyone over. Let's kind of go through these real quick. Let's. Starting with the one that everyone cares about, well, unless you don't care about video games, which is Game of the Year, and the things that were nominated for this were Horizon Zero Dawn, Persona 5, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and Super Mario Odyssey. So right off, and Breath of the Wild. So right off the bat, Nintendo has two things up for Game of the Year, so it's already winning.
And
Zelda won.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about whichever one sort of either game off. Could have been Game of the Year at different time on a different year. Like Odyssey could have been Game of the Year easily.
Yeah, yeah. I think any of these besides PUBG could have won.
Yeah,
is at any other year.
Is PUBG even officially out? Or is it still beta?
It's not. No, it's not like an officially like licensed full release game. No. But it's mostly just because of all the records it broke, I'm going to guess. And now it's coming to Xbox One and such. But there's things on here that I probably would have liked to see besides that. Even for... That could have been a separate category by itself for something like that. But there were games on here. I know Tiffany would kill me if I didn't mention Nier. There's also Resident Evil 7 that released that I think should have been nominated.
I feel like there's a very few, like, very good games this year, and then a lot of just forgettable things, you know?
Yes, yeah, yeah. So, Breath of the Wild won that one, which everyone foresaw. I'm not, you know, super upset about that. I would have put something else. My pick for Game of the Year, just because I didn't personally play Breath of the Wild, would have been Horizon Zero Dawn.
I would have been okay with either of those things winning.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm not disappointed.
yeah. So let's go on to Best Game Direction, which is basically like Best Director, if this was like the Oscars or something.
How does that work? In, like, the video game community, is it still one guy, or is it, like, a team? Because I know, like, Ocarina was mostly, you know, it's all kind of funneled. You know, I've heard a lot of, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. And yeah, it kind of goes to one person, but...
Yeah, it's basically the one dude that's in charge of the team, or whatever.
Okay.
So you got things nominated for this, Horizon Zero Dawn, Resident Evil 7... Super Mario Odyssey, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, and Breath of the Wild, and once again, Breath of the Wild 1 for that as well. Yeah, I can't really say
it's hard
what
to
I wish
like,
would have won for that, because it's hard to, it's be like, I don't know what that person specifically does.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of figure that out, too, because directing in a movie is, you can see... You know, how the characters progress. It's all of the different parts kind of put together, how the characters progress, the shots that are used, how you tell a story visually. But when you're playing a video game, like, there's aspects of that, but you're just following your character around, you know? So the way that the story progresses is more up to the player in a lot of ways, especially something like Breath of the Wild. You could do things completely out of order or completely skip things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I probably would have picked Resident Evil 7 for this, just because that game, for a lot of people, brought back the sort of traditional, this is what a Resident Evil game should feel like after years of it being re-releases of the first one and the fourth one, and bad, and nobody talks about 6. and then, like, an okay co-op game in 5, but not really a good single-player experience. Mm-hmm. So, I probably would have got it for that. And the thing that sort of was good for that as well is Resident Evil 7 sort of brought VR for console into the light. Like, hey, this could be a thing for console. It doesn't have to just be, like, the Vive or whatever on PC. Or the Oculus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Best narrative, which is the writing. The writer or writers. This The nominees for this one were Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, which I didn't play, but I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, that one I remember seeing like some trailers and stuff for, but
yeah,
I have not heard anything at all about it other than like the initial "this is a thing." I don't know what it is or what the context of the game is.
Yeah, yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn, Nier, Wolfenstein 2, and What Remains of Edith Finch, and that's what won. No idea what that game is.
We're so good at this, Patrick. We're so good at geeking.
I know it's like a PC indie game. That's about it.
That's another. I feel like movies kind of it's more focused because you know what the big releases are, and getting it to theater is more select. But video games, there's so much from between like the consoles and PC. And mobile there's
exclusives
games, like,
for all three, yeah.
And it's just, it's such a mess. Like, it's so hard to say this is the best game of the year, especially considering how drastically different the genres are. Like, you watch a movie, there's different genres. It's a comedy, or if it's, you know, a horror or whatever, you have different experiences. But it's not like I'm playing Zelda and I'm that person, I'm swinging a sword and stuff. Or I'm playing this other game where I'm telling my space army to invade the other space army from a distant view up above, you know? Like, totally different ways of playing a game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, how do you say one is better than the other?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to skip a couple just so this doesn't get, like, too crazy. But there's, like, things like best score. Which, this was the category, I want to talk briefly about this category, because Nier won for this, which I've never played, but Breath of the Wild was nominated for it, and I don't think it should have been, because even though I didn't play that game, I've watched a lot of that game, and from what I can tell, there's little to no score.
It's very, like, ambient. It doesn't have, I'm actually surprised it was nominated at all, because it doesn't have the classics kind of themes the other games had. I mean, each dungeon from, like, Ocarina has a very distinct score and sound. I could tell you, like, I could hear 5 seconds of it and tell you exactly what that is. And, of course, you have a game called Ocarina that's, you know, around music, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was kind of weird to me that this one didn't have very much in the way of new scores. Where it happened was very, very good. So when you go and get yourself into trying to get inside one of the temples, which is like the guardians, you have to basically attack it. And the music that plays for that is pretty fucking epic. Other than that, like, there's not... Like, the Hyrule Castle itself had really great music, but a lot of it's, like, re-blends of, old score. It's not, like, a new theme. And even some of the cities that you can go to are re-blends of different scores. So, like, the bird folk. It's the, Dragon Isle, the Dragon Roost theme from Wind Waker is their city.
Right.
Like a kind of a little bit of a redo of that one. So it's
right.
It's not even like new stuff necessarily. But the main score, the main theme is great. But that's really the only real new actual score, I feel like.
Yeah, so I think this is just a case of like a Zelda, so we have to, because the history of Zelda music is that Zelda music is
like the best. Yeah.
But I'm just like, I just don't understand why Horizon isn't nominated. Cause the score in that is really, really good. But anyway, I'll have more thoughts on that later. So let's just continue on. Best performance, Melina Jurgens as Senua in Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. She won, but there was a lot of nominations for this. A very heavily female dominance category, which just goes to show you the female talent behind all of those games is amazing. And don't just think that video games are for people who identify as male, because that's not true at all, because there's some great actors and actresses who do a great job. So, like, Ashley Birch as Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn, Claudia Black as Chloe Fraser in Uncharted, who we've mentioned before, is really great. Laura Bailey, who's also really good, as Nadine in Uncharted, and then Brian Bloom as BJ Blazkowicz in Wolfenstein was the only male person in there, which I think, you know, let's get behind these females.
I feel like there was,
as in supporting them.
Oh my god. I feel like there wasn't like a whole lot of talk around the new Uncharted, like the Lost Legacy.
Yeah, because it came out and it wasn't Nate focused, I guess. It wasn't an exact continuation of the story, maybe.
But there's some like really cool story elements that happen that kind of interweave that kind of stuff, and it just goes to show you how cinematic and entertaining it must have been, because you have the two main characters are both nominated for performance. So I feel like that one was just flew right under everybody's radar and no one really talked about it too much. Yeah. And I had so much fun playing that one.
Mm-hmm. Let's go on to some more focused thing. So best action game. Wolfenstein 2 won. The other nominations were Cuphead, which I've heard is a really good game, Destiny 2, Neo, which I've played, and Prey. I've heard really great things about Wolfenstein, so that's probably the thing that deserved to win. The only other game I've played that's on this list is Neo, which is just a Dark Souls clone, but it's really fun.
I actually heard some very frustrating things about Wolfenstein.
Really?
Interestingly enough. Like, from Polygon, actually. I listened to, like, their besties, like Game of the Month reviews.
And like, about what? About the story? Or about the gameplay?
Story, for the most part, was enjoyable. But it was a lot of the gameplay, actually.
Do you not level, punch enough Nazis?
The level design was really frustrating and poorly designed, and some of the gameplay just didn't work like it should have. So interesting that it won best action, like, you know, like I feel like,
yeah, and especially also over something like a Destiny 2, which has been really successful.
What's interesting is if it won best action, it wasn't nominated for best picture though, right? I mean, best picture, best game.
Game of the year, I think it was actually.
Really? It'd be really
weird.
No,
it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
That's really weird that it was nominated or it won best action game and then wasn't even nominated for game of the year.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
But PUBG was.
Everything, well, best VR game was Resident Evil 7, and that wasn't nominated for best, or for Game of the Year either.
That's weird. So, how are you the best kind of game for a category, and then aren't considered for Game of the Year?
Well, there's a lot of different best kind of games categories.
Yes, but a lot of them are crossovers and stuff, but...
Yeah. Best, so this one's weird. So best action / adventure, just call it adventure. Zelda won for that, of course. But there's Assassin's Creed, Horizon Zero Dawn, Super Mario Odyssey, which I think should not be on this list. I think it should have stuck with the category that it won, and Uncharted, which to me, I think, just for what you said, as far as the narrative,
the gameplay was great
happens
too.
In that game,
the gameplay is great.
Uncharted probably should have won, or Horizon Zero Dawn, but let's not talk about. I'm not going to talk about it that yet.
If those had won that category, could you say Zelda shouldn't have won Game of the Year?
No.
Why win? Why lose out to your category and then win Game of the Year?
No, I think Zelda. I think it winning this category is perfectly fine. Like, I'm fine with it winning this category. But yeah, RPG. Let's talk about good old RPGs because we love RPGs. Divinity Original Sin 2. There was not a good RPG
that I played at all this year.
No. Well, I did. But Divinity Original Sin 2, fantastic RPG. I love it. I don't play it enough. I should play it more. But it's really, really fun. Final Fantasy 15, Nier, South Park, and then Persona 5 1. Obviously, Persona 5 probably deserves it because it's Persona. But I think Divinity Original Sin 2 has a case. I think it goes back to, first off, the first one's really good. And I think it gets back to the roots of, like, RPGs, like the first sort of Fallouts and Wasteland and things like that. Over the top.
It's over the top, like Diablo-esque?
Yeah, and it's turn-based. The combat's turn-based. Over the top, it's co-op. You can do online co-op or single player, and nothing changes with the story depending on which one you do. And you, a co-op person, I think, can hop in whenever. Like, you don't need to start a new game, I don't think. I could be wrong about that. Don't quote me on that, even though I just said it.
Don't have me.
But the character customization as far as what you want to do with your class and stuff, and how you look as well, is all over. Like, you can do whatever you want. You want a dude that can do magic and can fight really good? Go for it. A mage ranger, or a dude that can talk to animals or whatever. You can do all sorts of things. There are pre-built classes, but even if you pick a pre-built class, you can go in and customize that a little bit, and it's really good. The dialogue, I think it's fully voiced, voice acted. You have, which is funny, because you have a lot of choices, because I don't think your character is voice acted, so you still have a good amount of choices.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
How have I not really, like, looked into this at all?
No. Well, it was originally just a PC-only game, but now it's on consoles. So, I have the first one on console, on PS4. We should play it, because it's really fun to play with other people. Because the way it works is you get into dialogue, both players are involved in the dialogue, and both have a decision. Like, they have the same, the person who initiates the dialogue can say one of two things, the person who doesn't initiate the dialogue can choose one of two things. You can either agree or disagree. If you disagree, then you get into, like, a rock, paper, scissors sort of thing, and whoever wins, that's the decision that gets chosen. And you get special, like, let's say, like your personality. So you tend to respond in this sort of way. You get this personality trait, but the person you're playing with won't get that personality trait unless they're also choosing that as well. Yeah, it's really fun. It's cool because you don't have to walk next to each other the whole time. You can both go off and do things if you want to. Like, one person can be in combat and the other person's not even around.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that game is really good, but it went up against the one Persona game that comes out every 4 years, so yeah. Let's talk about best family game, because Super Mario Odyssey won for this. I think this should have been the only category that Super Mario Odyssey is up for. I don't think it should have been, like I said, for best action adventure, because it's a Mario game. I think
adventure counts. Adventure is? It's okay. I mean,
what about Sonic Mania? Do you think Sonic Mania should have won best family game?
I have not played Sonic Mania, which...
What?
I know. But I hear it's fucking fantastic. Like, it's right back into Sega Genesis, like, greatness.
Nice.
So... yeah, that's the next. See, it's just, there's too many things that I want to play, and it's just too damn expensive. That's all there is to it.
That's true.
So much time sink, too.
Yeah, it's true. time consuming and expensive. Before I talk about what I want to talk about, let's talk about one fan's choice award. The other ones don't matter. Most anticipated game. So here were the nominees: God of War, Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, Red Dead 2, and Last of Us Part 2, and Last of Us 1, which I'm very surprised that a exclusive game won.
It's true.
Because I was like, dang, Red Dead didn't win? Because that's going to be released on Xbox and PlayStation. I don't think it's going to be released on PC. People want it to be. So just... That must mean there's a lot of people super hyped about Last of Us 2. I voted. When I was going through the votes, I voted for Red Dead. Because Red Dead.
Because Red Dead.
But let's, what let's about, talk about...
what about Monster Hunter?
I'm actually, out of all of these, I'm most excited for Red Dead 2 first and Monster Hunter next. Because the closed beta, I think, just released.
You can, like, team up, right?
Yeah, you can team up. But the closed beta just released, and people have been making... One of the pre-generated characters looks just like the room guy, Tommy Wiseau, or whatever. And people have been going crazy. I'm probably most excited for Red Dead and Monster Hunter World. I mean, I'm really excited for Last of Us as well, but I don't know. I feel like they should have just done Last of Us
and left it,
and then left it, because that game's amazing. But we'll see. I mean, the trailer looks good, but whatever. But yeah, Monster Hunter World, I'm pretty excited about it, and I'm kind of excited to like get it and play with like you, and you know, hopefully, and we can go on Monster Hunter adventures. Hell yeah. And stuff. So, yeah. But let's talk about my grievances with these game awards, because, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of dominating this episode a little bit, but...
I feel like you're the video game expert more than...
I do play a lot of video games. First off, where the fuck is Battlefront 2? Just kidding.
Oh my god.
Just kidding. But first off, notice Mass Effect was not nominated for anything, because obviously.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's a category, or in this article, games that received multiple nominations, right? So obviously, and 6 was the most. So obviously Zelda, which I think it won out of at how least many times three. It was nominated, at Is least.
There, it was at least.
At least three. So yeah. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. So 3 out of the 6. One of those being Game of the Year. Super Mario Odyssey was also nominated 6 times, but I think that only won once. Yes, once, but it won. And then Destiny 2 was nominated 6 times. It didn't win. The only one that it probably could have won was Best Multiplayer Game, but PUBG won that.
Yeah.
Which, again, I don't think it should have won anything. I think, hey, nominate it just because of what it did. But it's still not a fully released... Yeah, best beta game. You could have done that. But, I mean, there was... Destiny 2, I'm surprised, didn't win that. Anyway. But then Horizon Zero Dawn, nominated 6 times, did not win anything. And I don't understand that, because people... on the internet, went insane when that game released. I mean, obviously, when Zelda released, people were going insane about that. But when Horizon Zero Dawn released, which was around the same time,
yeah.
There was just as much.
Well, Horizon Zero Dawn was about first. That. It was first. I think it was very early on in the year.
Yeah,
and that hurts it.
Yeah, March, February.
That hurts it because. It's a long time to wait and then remember to vote for it, you know.
But that's the thing. People still talk about that game. I still see things on Reddit daily about that game. People taking, like, going into the screenshot mode and taking sweet epic screenshots, things like that, and yeah. talking about, this is one of the best single player experiences I've ever had, and it's not a triple A sort of, well, it's a triple A game because it was a large release, but, you know, not by a triple A company. You know, the story's great, the voice acting is great, it looks beautiful. Oh, the DLC came out, and it's actually worth the $10 to $15 because the amount of gameplay and the new area that unlocks and the new robots and things like that. And you get a whole new... I bought it, the DLC. You get a whole new skill tree when you unlock it and things like that. And new outfits and armor and stuff. New characters. So people go crazy about that game. And... it didn't win anything, and I feel really bad for the game because it's like what that game did. When people talk about 2017 was such a great year for video games, it's a post I see all the time, and Horizon Zero Dawn is always in the talks of like, this brought back single player video game experience again, and where things don't have to be online, you know, multiplayer / co-op.
Yeah.
You can still make a fantastic game. Yeah, and just the fact that it didn't win anything was very surprising to me. I was like, it's not going to win Game of the Year because Zelda. But I was like, Adventure? Could win Adventure. Could win Best Performance because she does a really good job as the main character. Yeah, nothing.
True. Nothing. Like I said, I think there is just a very few like really spectacular games, all of which could have won Game of the Year any other year, and just that kind of stuff sucks because they have to compete against these other really great games, so it's really hard when it could have won other things other years, no problem. But you have a really fucking great Zelda game come out, and that just screws everybody over. It was like
First Zelda game in years,
like when Return of the King came out and everyone just lost all the Oscars to it.
Yeah, it's true.
This year of gaming, just, it really made me like realize like how much time I've lost to be able to play games, you know, which is
for me, it's time well spent.
Weird. It's weird because like I want to play more, but I don't have time for it. But when I play too much, I feel bad about it.
I think for me, this year has been. This year has really helped shaped, and I talked about this a little bit when I talked about Battlefront 2. This game has really helped me shape or reshape my expectations when it comes to video games. Whereas before this year, my expectations, and I give the credit to my changing expectations to the Mass Effect game that came out this year.
Yeah.
Because before this year, I was like, if I'm going to buy a game, it better be an amazing story experience. I better be talking about the story for days, looking up articles, looking up theories, all the Easter eggs, all that stuff, wanting to 100% it, stuff like that. And then I played Mass Effect, which before that, I think the only other game I really played was like Horizon Zero Dawn. So imagine the difference in games there, or Neo, and I went, huh, this isn't the best game as far as story. There's some glitches and stuff, it's kind of broken, and then I go, but am I having fun? And I started to realize, if I'm not having fun, or if my expectations are aligned in such a way, if the game is not 100% smooth and complete, if the game isn't 100% the best story I've ever played, and if my expectations are up there and that takes away from me sitting back and realizing this is a video game that I'm interacting with, and for the amount of time that I'm putting into this game, if I'm not having fun, then it's not worth it. And that's why I haven't gone back to Mass Effect, because either A, I've been busy, or there were other games I wanted to play, or stuff like that. But I'm going to, now that there's a lull a little bit, and I want to play other things. But then that made me think, one of the best games that I've ever played or had the most fun with is Stardew Valley. And that game's, when you look at it from the expectations that I originally was going into games with, is fucking dumb. So stupid and ridiculous, but it's one of the best gaming experiences I've ever had. And so now that perspective for me changed, where I went, yeah, Lord of the Rings is really fun, and it's a really fun game, and I enjoy it a lot. And I continued to play that game a little bit just to kill some orcs once in a while or whatever.
Yeah.
Battlefront 2, hey, it's really fun, and I have the self-control not to buy pay-to-win stuff, so it's no loss to me. And eventually I'll get all those heroes, but if I'm having fun playing the game, then whenever I get those is whenever I get those. And I'm not worried about it. You know, and I still play Stardew Valley today. I played it literally like this morning a little bit before I went to work because I wanted to catch some fish and some farm
more,
and stuff.
There's no more fish in that river. We all know this.
Yeah, which is funny because that's a game about farming and like building yourself up from the ground up. And I played it before going into work this morning because I have fun. So I think that's something that, as gamers, as consumers, we need to start realizing, yes, we should not allow companies to consider to continue to try to milk the most amount of money from us. Games should be complete when they release. I'm not talking about any of that. But if a game went through developmental hell, like Mass Effect Andromeda, and they needed to release it because it's been anticipated for 5 years or whatever, then they'll release it and then do some patches post-release to fix it a little bit, which they did. And as soon as they did that, everybody stopped talking about how bad the graphics were and the glitches. So it's just, hey, you have fun. You spent $60 on it and you put in more than 6 hours into the game to play it. That's what, $10 per hour? That's pretty good.
Yeah, considering like you're going to be paying $12 for a 2-hour movie, you know, like,
yeah,
I would say if you put in 8 to 10 hours in a video game and had a lot of fun, you're probably at the threshold.
You paid it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have lowered my expectations, so I'm probably going to be playing to what would be considered a lot of shit games next year. But if I have fun and it's not breaking my wallet and my bank and I am smart with my money and things like that, then if I have fun and it wasn't a waste of my money, then great. And if the game's not completely unplayable and broken and unfinished, then it is worth it. And if it is completely unbroken and unfinished, then hey, that was my choice to not research the game a little bit or hold off, and I bought into the hype train. Which is another thing that consumers need to stop doing, which we've talked about on what, episode 2 of this podcast.
Oh god, so long ago.
So yeah, that's my spiel.
That's good. It's good. I like Breath of the Wild. I think it should have won.
Yeah,
I don't know. Horizon Zero Dawn overall, you could make a probably stronger argument for Horizon Zero Dawn. Stronger actual narrative, score, voice acting, definitely. I don't know. It's tough.
Depending on what type of graphics you like, yeah, they're both beautiful in different ways. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, hey, you can ride robot dinosaurs in Horizon Zero Dawn, but now they just released a motorcycle in Zelda Breath of the Wild, so I don't know, man. You can ride cool things in both of them.
It's true. It's true. Oh, gotta get on that DLC. We have the season pass for it, so we get it.
Nice. It's hey, all done. Hey Chris.
Hey Patrick.
When you come to California next week, can you bring your Switch so I can play it?
Gotta ask the missus here.
What? She's not the missus yet.
True.
But yeah, ask. Hey Jamie.
Just kidding. I have headphones.
I'll ask her later.
You dweeb.
Talking shit.
He is talking shit.
No, I'm not. Don't say that. Don't. I'm trying to ask politely.
No, he's actually very politely and desperately asking if you would bring the Switch. when we visit.
For Christmas.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, damn.
I'm just kidding.
We'll discuss
small
it.
Small enough.
It is. Perhaps.
Okay. If you don't, that's fine. But I want to actually play the game of the year.
That's true. I leave a week from Friday to come out to the Californias, and we might have ourselves a full fledged live episode. We'll definitely get one in the studio together finally again. But yes. We might have another full fledged live episode. That's been
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, the last
it's been a year.
It's been a year.
That's going to be our thing now. Every Star Wars movie, because they're going to make infinite amount of them now, is going to be a live episode.
Exactly.
Somehow we gotta. I'll fly to you, or you fly to me. Doesn't even matter if we're planning it pre ahead of time. We're gonna have to now, and it's gonna be a big thing.
Exactly.
Damn it.
Exactly. We didn't do it for Rogue One. I guess it's just the saga stuff.
We didn't do it for Rogue One. Why didn't we?
Or did we do it for Rogue One?
No, that's what we did it for, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah.
It must have been.
Must have been.
Was it?
Must have been. Because. Yeah.
Because Force Awakens released a year before.
Yeah, too long
and
ago.
We weren't recording
podcasting.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. All the Star Wars years are blurring together.
Yeah, we did it for Rogue One, yeah.
Okay.
Because I remember because we kept having it like, what's her name? Jin or whatever? That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
And Tiffany sent in the question about like blind Asian dude or.
Yeah, that's right.
And how great
right.
he was.
How awesome yeah. he is. Yeah.
But let's move on to some weapon of the week, Chris.
What's. Why don't you get singing there, Busta? That was weird.
Okay. I gotta.
Okay. Okay. Continue.
What? Okay. Okay. Sorry. 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 Dun, 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 dun. I'm doing the theme.
So much editing needs to be done.
9.5%. All right, here we go. When you're surrounded by zombies and your future looks bleak, it's time to pull out your weapon of the week. Man. Remember, I added that mint last
time. I think it was a bing last time.
Oh, bing. Well, it's going to be something different every time, Chris. I'm going to tell you that.
Okay, right, that's good. I'm okay with this.
But if you don't know what weapon of the week is, it's whatever the last weapon that you saw used in a movie, a video game, a television show, read in a book, listened to on a podcast, whatever. That's the weapon that you have to survive a zombie apocalypse. And the zombie apocalypse was specifically started by our listener, Luke, because he once used a weapon that controls zombies. So we started to create a narrative out of this thing.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. So we have a listener weapon of the week this week from Jake. Good old consistent Jake. Shout out to Jake. Hey, Brothers Geek. Last show I watched was Luke Cage. So my weapon in the zombie apocalypse would be bulletproof skin.
Oh, shit. Well,
now, it's not just bulletproof, because I know Luke Cage. He's like anything, because at one point she... A doctor tries to give him like a shot or something, and the needle just keeps bending. Like his skin can't be like pierced. So that'd be pretty effective for zombies.
Shit, unless you get it.
And then he could just punch a zombie in the face.
They're just trying to gnaw on you, and nothing's happening.
Yeah,
that's
you just
amazing.
Have like your shopping cart full of food or whatever, and you're just walking through a bunch of zombies, and it doesn't matter.
You can live your day-to-day, and it's just annoying zombies everywhere.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I mean, brilliant. Shit.
Yeah.
Brilliant! You can't beat that.
You can't. You can't. Really can't.
And even if the zombies start shooting at you, don't matter.
It's true. You're good to go. Man, imagine how frightening that would be. Oh, man, that'd be so scary.
Now, could you still get, like, bludgeoned?
I guess so, but there's plenty of times in the show that, like, people, he's been hit in the back with a bar stool and, like, a whiskey glass or whatever, and just kind of just shrugs it off.
He's basically Superman, then.
Yes. I don't know how you would actually defeat him. I guess poison? You could poison him.
Zombie's got his, like, he'd little drown vial. Him, I guess.
Hey, have a drink. Yeah. So,
all right.
Yeah. But what's your weapon of the week this week, Chris?
Well, we did a little late night Empire Strikes Back viewing last night. Mm-hmm. I know what you're thinking about right now. I had my best riff of all time, by the way.
Nice.
When Obi-Wan first appears. To Luke dying in the snow, and he just Luke, and he just kind of appears. I was like, "Get up, you little bitch!" Jamie just died. It was great.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But yeah, we wanted to watch it because we want to compare, see how similar it is, kind of to the new one. We'll see. Also, it's the best.
It is the best one.
So my weapon of the week. This week would be Vader's dinner parties.
Oh man, that's true. I ordered pizza.
So I guess we would lure the zombies into a room, promising them like brain stew or whatever it is we promise them.
Didn't. Damn it, that's Brain Stew by Green Day.
And we'd just be blasting that, I guess, as they walk in. and Vader would just be sitting at the other end. And then I guess Vader would just kill them all. I don't know if anything's in the food. Maybe one's poisoned for Luke Cage, and then the rest is just...
He's on your team, though.
I don't know. This dinner party got out of my hand. Vader set it up. I don't know what happened. He choked the cook. What am I supposed to do? So, all right. Yeah. I mean, we can only really take care of, like, 20 zombies at a time, or the fire marshal starts getting on your ass. It's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah. You can only... The occupancy maximum is real low. It's like the little room in laser tag.
Yeah, exactly. The, like, birthday parties at the movies, and those, like, little side chambers.
Where it's, like, where it's just a glass so everyone can see you.
I don't want everyone looking at my party. Go away.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, my weapon of the week is I just watched, I think it's the most recent, one of the most recent Caravan of Garbages from Weekly Planet Pod.
I still have to watch The Return of the Jedi.
So my weapon of the week would be Luke Skywalker, if for some reason he's doing a bunch of flips and shit and just killing everyone, and also has Force Lightning, because he has Force Lightning. So they play the PSP version of the Force Unleashed.
Oh,
and apparently
God.
There's a secret level where you play as Luke in Return of the Jedi, and literally the mission is to kill everyone, and then you also have the power to shoot lightning. Even though Luke never has that power. But he does choke now.
He does choke some piggies out. Oh, phrasing.
Heart. That's true. So I guess theoretically he could shoot lightning out of his hand. But
Since he literally never does. It's an
so
odd
can
choice.
my weapon of the week be the ability to shoot lightning out of my hand, even though I never do in real life?
So,
but now I do.
So the real power of it would be everyone around you would be just surprised. Like, it would just be like, what the fuck is happening?
So my weapon of the week is going against canon.
That's good.
Yeah. We have one more listener mail, Chris.
Do we?
Also from Jake. Last week we talked about our Star Wars, or you posted on Twitter and Facebook, you know, rank the Star Warses. So he emailed in, and he ranked his. So one, Rogue One, which is a trend we started to kind of see with some people, is ranking Rogue One first. Empire, Force Awakens. So there you go. The new ones, top three. New Hope, so Return of the Jedi. Yeah, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones, coming down. I'm so glad everyone's on board the let's really hate Attack of the Clones train.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I think that might be one of my favorite lists. I mean, it's not mine personally, but that's, I mean, putting Force Awakens above New Hope, that's pretty ballsy. So I like that.
I like it too. Shoot.
I like that, yeah. And if you want to talk to us in any way and give us your rankings of Star Wars or whatever, just give us a random ranking. No context. Just give us a random ranking. Just numbers and then whatever it is. And we'll try to figure it out.
Beer. Here's a color.
Yeah. It's like red. Fellowship of the Ring. Doctor Who. It's like, what the fuck is this person talking about? It's like those combo packs of movies where the three movies have nothing to do with each other, or it's like, or it's like Rush Hour, Face Off.
The first thing I thought of was Rush Hour.
It's like, well, first it's Rush Hour 3, Face Off, and Lord of the Rings or some shit. And it's like, why are these three things together? But anyway, if you want to talk to us in any sort of way, you can find us on theportport.com. That's the PORTE.com, and you can find the links to all our things there. Facebook, Twitter, Nerdbot articles are probably going to be linked there now as well, or just directed to the Nerdbot site.
We'll put our buddies up or something. We'll have a friend, like
a friend tab, like
super friends.
Yeah, geek friends,
super acquaintances.
And our YouTube, which Chris just released a video on YouTube as well, so finally, we actually have something on YouTube besides just the Legend of the Drungoon video.
We'll try to do that. We're going to try to do that every week. I don't know if I'm going to have time necessarily, but every single week.
I can try
to
do some as well.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah,
you're
take a little...
You're not in this alone, Chris.
Very true. That's true. It is the port... I guess it's not plural, but...
It's implied. Well, it's like fish.
It's implied. You know? But yeah, we'll try to get a little bit of a clip of a part of the podcast. Like, we kind of dissected why Force Awakens is great. And then we put some video up. And there's just something about, like, Patrick hating on Hayden, and then his big dumb face comes up, and it's the greatest thing.
It was really funny. Perfect timing there, Chris.
Thank you.
So yeah, find us there. And find us just rocking out to the nerd music, you know?
Is that going to be another video? It's just us rocking out to nerd music?
Yeah, and it's just like the...
The really small head
nods. Gerudo Valley theme.
Just head nodding through the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's Game of Thrones. I don't know if you're trying for
Game of fucking Thrones, Game of fucking Thrones, Game of fucking Thrones. Fucking Game of Thrones.
Oh man. Well, is there anything else? Or is that our Geek of the Week?
That's our Geek of the Week, Chris.
That's
we have more recording 9%. To do right after this, and the recording right after this is RP Geek, and I'm gonna have to try to DM, and I'm not even done with this beer yet. I still have a full glass in my hand.
I'm drinking
a whole bomber.
What episode are we on that we're recording? Because I know we're on what, 5 that is actually released, 6 that's actually released.
Yeah,
so we're something like that. On 11,
we're pretty far ahead. I think we're on 11. So, we just did 10 last week.
When you hit 11 and Patrick sounds drunk right away, you know what happened. Go back to this brother's game.
Well, I'm about to eat right now, so hopefully that'll help.
Yeah, there you go.
Give me some greasy ass food and I'll be good.
There it is.
But yeah, I think that's our Geek of the Week, Chris.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then we will see you next year, except we'll see you before then. Actually,
yeah, and one of our next episodes will probably be our live episode, so be looking out for that as well. Ooh. Or that'll be bonus, whatever. I don't know how, we haven't decided yet. But this is Patrick signing off,
and Chris,
we'll see you whenever we see you. Don't spoil.
Don't.
Bad.
Don't.
It's bad. It's bad.